Been moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayamvunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now.
I am up at 3:30 in the morning to go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India,
and I'm here in Tokyo, Japan, for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is the Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabo, and this is Far East Adventure Travel. Thank you for joining me as Earthquake Diaries from Nepal continues with Part 3. In this journey through my days of visiting the many earthquake-affected sites of Nepal in May 2015, I saw places within the Kathmandu Valley that experienced minimal damage to towns like Sanku Village that almost completely collapsed as a result of the April 25th and May 12th earthquakes. In Sanku Village, we walked through alleys and streets that were literally crumbling around us as residents were beginning the huge task of breaking down buildings, salvaging bricks and precious wooden window frames in order to rebuild their home in another location. Others were returning to what remained of their homes simply to recover personal items. In Patan, where much less damage occurred, order was returning to the town that is home to one of the most beautiful Durbar or royal squares in the Kathmandu Valley. Many homes were damaged and some destroyed in Patan, but locals saw less disruption to their lives than in Sanku Village. I started out my second visit to Patan during the earthquakes of 2015 with a walk around its Durbar Square.
Hello, everyone from Patan, Nepal and Durbar Square. This is John Sabo, Far East Adventure Travel. And I'm so glad you can join me here live in Nepal. And I'm just going to take a walk around the square right now. I was here over a week ago, and they had, you know, much of it shut off. Still, much of it is closed off, but they've opened up a little bit more, so it's starting to feel a little more social around here. In that it's a center for people to come and worship and, of course, socialize. And these squares, that's what they are. They are not museums. They are working places of worship and social centers for the cities. And Patan is one of the three main old kingdoms of the Kathmandu Valley. And it has seen a lot of destruction, of course, not as much as Bhaktapur, but you can see the one temple here that was completely destroyed. It's missing now. And they've estimated it could take 5 to 7 years to rebuild some of these sites. And Durbar Square in Patan was really one of the most well-preserved ones, lovingly preserved. They had much restoration done to it. It is beautiful, and it was actually featured in the opening scenes of the movie Baraka that came out in 1992. So I'm here. It's late afternoon, around 4:30 in Nepal, and so people are coming around the square like they usually do this time of day. And this is one of the palaces made out of stone that obviously is very solid and withstood the earthquake, although they do have some supports in here. And across the way is the Patan Museum, and part of the palace and the courtyards are inside, and I understand that that's where they're keeping a lot of the antiquities from these temples as a safekeeping place for now. And if you have any questions about what's happening in Nepal right now, feel free to shoot them my way. I've just got to crouch underneath this little beam here. I was in the district of Sindapolchuk yesterday. It's one of the hardest hit areas of Nepal. There's lots of destroyed homes. Many people lost their lives there. It's very, very difficult place to reach, and it is it's going through a hard time right now. Hello, France. Hello. So I'll turn around here, and we'll have another look at the square. And there you can see there's like nobody walking around because this part is closed off. They have some police here to secure it. And I'm not sure, I have no idea when they're going to reopen this main area. And I don't know why they still have it closed off, because I understand that most of the antiquities, anything that was of value, has now is now in safekeeping inside these courtyards. And then another place I'll show you, this is the water tank. So this is the place where most people come to get their water to use for every day, because many people don't have running water in their households here. Hello, namaste. And we'll just take a walk. You know, there's definitely some damage here, but you're right. There's not, you know, much of the square is preserved. So there's probably no reason why in just a short time it will be opened up again to the public. And, you know, there's, the things that are missing will take some time to rebuild. But, you know, Patton, there's destruction, I understand, around. There's many old homes here that were destroyed in the earthquakes. But the square itself, and I think it's because it's been renovated many times, is in good shape. So, you know, this is the case with most of the buildings here. Most of the newer buildings, they might have some cracks or some disturbances inside, but it's really the old structures. And then, of course, in many of these remote villages, the old type of homes that they had built out of basically stone that aren't even held together. They're just piled up. And some of them have been in families for three generations. You know, the earthquake just shook them all apart. And now some of those villages are just piles of stone. I'm just walking down a back street right now of Patton in the Kathmandu Valley. And it's a little bit quiet now. The marketplace would be a little bit busier, but this is, of course, a typical alley or lane streetway in Patton. And Patton is always been well looked after, a lot of character, and it's always been one of my favorite places to visit when I'm in the Kathmandu Valley. Lots of interesting streets around here. There's no car traffic on these streets allowed. And so you just see motorbikes buzzing up and down here and pedestrians. So I'm in, oh, you're welcome. I'm in, it's about 4:30 in the afternoon, just after 4:30 in the afternoon here in Patton, Nepal. And it really is a lovely place. So, I mean, why I'm here, I'm here to support Nepal, of course, and be a medium for, you know, for any sort of fundraising for some of these really hard areas to get to. I can put people in contact to support some of these little villages. And I'm here to support the country and tourism, because tourism is vital to this country. Many people rely on the tourists to make a living. And I've talked to so many right now that are really struggling because just the tourists aren't here. And of course, for obvious reasons, many countries are still recommending that their citizens not travel here. But I hope those will be lifted soon. I certainly don't expect people to jump on a plane right now. Thank you. I certainly don't expect people to jump on a plane now, but I certainly hope that if you had plans in the next 6 months to come to Nepal, that you will keep them. And the thing is that, you know, tourism is super vital. And like I said, I've been talking to lots of people that are really struggling right now because, like I said, the tourists aren't here. I hope that, you know, they will start coming back soon. You know, I can give you one example, just taxi drivers alone. They don't get local business. You know, Nepalis do not take taxis unless it's like an emergency. They need it for the hospital. They use the microvan. So they totally, almost 100% rely on travelers and tourists to support their living. And right now these guys are just having a really, really tough time. That's just one very small segment of so many people I've talked to that have been affected by the earthquakes. And, you know, so, you know, one of the best ways you can support this country is to come here and visit and see for yourself what it's like. There's many, many beautiful sites still here, many things to see, many places that were totally unaffected by the earthquakes, you know, different cities like Pokhara, where the Annapurna Circuit is, also Lumbini, the birthplace of the Buddha, is a very safe place. It was safe throughout the earthquake, throughout the earthquakes, and is a very beautiful place to visit. But even the Kathmandu Valley, there are still many things to see here, and the culture hasn't gone away. I mean, what it's all about for me, I've been coming here for years, is the culture and the people. And those are my best memories. It's not the buildings. It's the engagement with people. The hospitality you will not find anywhere else. The richness of the ethnic groups and the castes and the, like I said, the culture, the festivals that go on in the fall. So these are all things that are really enriching for me, and I know you would find them that way as well. And you'd be supporting some amazing people through some really, really hard times right now. Yes, I'm a photojournalist, but I'm an independent journalist, so I publish a magazine, a digital magazine called Far East Adventure Travel, and I also publish a video podcast called Far East Adventure Travel, and those are available through iTunes and also from my website, fareastadventuretravel.com. So, I mean, I cover a lot of East Asia, Southeast Asia, and South Asia. Nepal is just one country that I cover, but I'm here, you know, at my own expense to support this country right now, because I think it's really needed. They really need it. And I've gotten lots of pleasure out of this place for many years. I've talked about it. I've written about it. I've taken many images. So that's what I do. And that's why I'm here right now. And I've been interviewed by BBC TV about how I feel about being here right now, if I feel safe. Yeah, sure, I can take a walk, and I'll walk out to the other side of the square, and then I'll sign off. So, and I have a couple of radio interviews that I'm doing in Canada this week. People want to know what it's like here. So, I'm just taking a walk back to the other side of Durbar Square. I highly recommend you watch, if you've never seen it, the 1992 movie Baraka. It's a documentary, but there's no narration at all. It's all just images, beautifully shot. And one of the opening scenes is early morning in this very square. Really is a beautiful movie, and I highly recommend you watch it. Oh, yeah, the monkey chant from that movie is really cool, yes. From, I think that was on Bali, I think. It was definitely in Indonesia. And here we are, back on the other side of the square, and the light is beautiful, the late afternoon light. Yes, yes, the sweeping of the square, and somebody mentioned from the movie, there's some women sweeping in the early morning, the square, and it's just this beautiful scene, and you'll see the two lions, and there they are right there. And that is one of the opening scenes in that movie, Baraka. And the first time I saw it was when the first time I came to Kathmandu and Nepal, and I didn't even know that that was featured in the movie, and I rented it, and I was just like, my eyes just popped out, because I was looking, I went, wow, I was just there a week ago. This is Patton's Durbar Square. Hello, namaste from Sanku Village, Nepal. This is John Sabo, Far East Adventure Travel, and we're going to go this way? Okay, so we're just heading through the village of Sanku, which was seriously affected by the two largest earthquakes, and we're just actually right now, these guys are breaking down some of the building, and we're just taking a pause because we're getting the go-ahead so we can walk through here. There's people trying to recover personal items from these buildings. They're already trying to break down some of the building. So because there's a lot of dangerous areas here, things could be falling. So they're trying to, you know, break it down ahead of time before it falls apart on its own. And you can see some of this beautiful New Ari architecture here. And it's very, very sad that it's been destroyed. But yeah, you can see these guys are trying to break down some of these bricks, so we can't move here at the moment. Thank you, Frankfurt. Well, hello and namaste to Thailand. Sanku Village was seriously affected by the earthquakes. Much of the town was destroyed, and thousands of people have been displaced here. So we've got to be careful as we walk around. Hello, Oregon. We've got to be careful as we head through this village. Can we go?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. So we got the go-ahead. So we're going to head through this zone right now. And I can tell you, is a lot of dust here. I'm here, for a few reasons. I'm trying to support the country any way I can. And my efforts are focused a lot for long term on getting people back to Nepal as far as tourism goes, because I'm a photojournalist, but more on the travel side, not so much on the hardcore news side. But I came here to help and get the message out. There's lots of help that's still needed here. A lot of the international media attention has gone away, but this story is long from being over. There's so many things and so many layers here. But the main thing is we've got to get people coming back to Nepal and visiting this beautiful country. There's still lots of things to see. Hello, Italy. Okay, we're going to go through this section here, and you will see how damaged this village was. I was in this village 5 years ago on a visit, and it was a beautiful, sleepy little town outside of Kathmandu. It's about a 45-minute drive outside of the city, and it's beautiful. Hello, Miami. Thank you. But to see it now, it's absolutely terrible. I was here earlier in the week, spoke to people that lost family members, lost their houses. Just in this village alone, it's about 75 people died. So we're just making our way through this rubble right now. It's not the safest place to be, so we'll do it in a hurry. But I just wanted to show you. And the other thing I do is as a photographer, I look at things from different aspects. And when you look up close to these sites, you really start to see the lives here. You'll see the clothing, the items that haven't been recovered, people have left behind, a makeup case. There are people that lived here and people that died here, an old slipper or shoe, something like that. And these are the things that really, I think, tell the story of the misfortune that's happened here and in this disaster. Most everybody is out. There's a few people I've noticed around the village, but most of the buildings are too dangerous to live in, that even if some of them are standing. So you'll see the odd tent set up around here. And there, like I said, there are some people that are staying within the village, but many have left and are outside. Somebody mentioned something about the windows before. many people are coming back to their homes to recover some of these pieces because some of these window frames are made out of wood that's not available anymore in Nepal. Very rare, over 100 years old. Okay, namaste. So we're kind of going through backyards and alleys and around people's homes to sort of safely move in and out of the village right now. There's lots of breaking down of buildings and people moving things around here. So it's very, very sketchy area. Yes, thank you for the note about the windows. How many people died? There was, I think, approximately 200 in this whole municipality area, about 50 to 75 within the village. There was one area of this village where 2,000 people lived in buildings, and they're long gone. And this destruction happened over the two big earthquakes, the first one on the 25th of April and the second one on May 12th. And you can see the piles of wood. This is very rare wood with carvings and things that just aren't, they're not replaceable. So people are trying to recover as much as they can from these homes. You know, to China, I think, how far are we from Kodari, the border? About 5 hours, 4 or 5 hours from Kodari? Yeah, it's about a 4 or 5 hour drive to Kodari, which is one of the border crossings that leads you basically into Tibet, China. And I don't know about your question about why aren't people talking about Nepal in Europe. You know, I met many Europeans that come to Nepal. So I can't answer that question for you. Where should we go? Okay, so we'll head out to the village this way. Good afternoon. How are you guys? Good. And that's part of the Canadian Armed Forces team that's been deployed in here for relief efforts. And I just talked to one of their media people, PR people earlier, about the special training and the medical training and the challenges of relief effort in this part of the world. And yes, I was by this spot the other day, so there's a temple here that you can see is crashed right down. Yes, I believe there was children that were lost in the earthquake in this part of Nepal, in this village, yes. I don't know how many, though. I don't have those stats. I just have total stats of fatalities. You'd been to this village 8 years back. Well, thanks for sharing it. As you know, it's a beautiful spot. This also leads up into Sindapolchuk, which is the region. I was there a couple of days ago, and it's one of the worst hit regions in Nepal. And I went through villages that were pretty much completely destroyed. Many lives lost. Many people I met had lost their relatives. And it's a very dangerous place right now with landslides. And the, you know, the main priority is people have got to get shelters ready for the rainy season, because it's coming soon. And some of these shelters that they're using now just aren't adequate enough. I am just in another part, and you can see where this building's crashed down, and then that's another archway into the village. And some more of this lovely Nuari architecture that hopefully will be able to be, some of it saved, and some will have to be obviously completely rebuilt. So some of these people that are here that you'll see are actually, these are their homes, and they're trying to recover things from them so that they can start rebuilding again. And they have some pretty good shelters that they've made for people here that will be adequate enough at least to keep them covered until they can rebuild. But by all means, they're not super comfortable by Western standards. But as I was talking to somebody earlier, the Nepalese people are extremely resilient, very tough. They're used to dealing with hardships. So for them, it's not as a big a challenge as it may be for Westerners. However, it's still a huge challenge. Yes, people are very, very worried that there's going to be another earthquake. People are traumatized here. After the first earthquake, it took a few days for people to settle down again and relax, and then the stores opened up again and businesses opened up. And then when the second earthquake hit, the big one on May 12th, everything shut down again. People are extremely frightened right now that there's going to be another earthquake. People are still living under shelters and in tents that have homes that they could actually live in the Kathmandu Valley, but are too afraid. I know people, I have a friend that he's got his family down in southern Nepal, in Lumbini right now. That's the birthplace of the Buddha. And he has a shop in the Bodhanath, in the Tibetan village, and he has it closed up right now because his family's very scared. So he's kept them down there until they feel comfortable to come back to Kathmandu. I really thank you so much for joining me. You can go to my Facebook page, Far East Adventure Travel Nepal, and like it. I'm uploading images, video clips daily on what's going on here. I also have another Facebook page, Far East Adventure Travel, and I'm uploading podcasts on iTunes, Far East Adventure Travel, or you can go to fareastadventuretravel.com. Thank you so much. Thank you very much for joining me. I hope you join me again. I'm here till May 31st. For now, from Sanku Village, Nepal, this is John Sabo. Namaste.
Thanks for listening to my special Far East Adventure Travel documentary series, Earthquake Diaries from Nepal, Part 3. I would love to get your feedback on the podcast, either by email to john@fareastadventuretravel.com, or just message me on the Far East Adventure Travel Facebook page or Far East Adventure Travel on Instagram. Would love to hear from you. In China, you can contact me or message me on Weibo at Far East Adventure. If you want to find out more about visiting Nepal, you can check out our travel page, explorehimalayan.com. The link is in the show notes of this podcast. Please subscribe and watch the video series Earthquake Diaries from Nepal, now available in the iTunes Store. I'll leave a link to the video podcast in the show notes. Far East Adventure Travel depends on listener and viewer support. Your donation of $5, $10, $20, or $30 or more helps with production and travel costs. Follow the link to my PayPal account in the show notes and make a donation now. I will send a special little souvenir from Taiwan for anyone who makes a donation over $40 or more right now. Thanks for your reviews of the podcast in the iTunes Store. Niall from Canada writes, I like how John creates a balance between providing useful information and also making it feel like you are there with him on his adventures. Great for learning about all the great places to visit in Asia. Niall, thank you so much. Glad you find the podcast informative and entertaining. Writing a review of the podcast, by the way, in the iTunes Store really helps others discover Far East Adventure Travel. Simply follow the link in the show notes, make sure you're signed into your account, then click Ratings and Reviews at the top of the podcast page. Rate the podcast out of 5 stars, then click Write a Review, then write your review. Maybe your review will be featured in an upcoming podcast. That's it for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, this is John Sabo. Safe travels and namaste.